It's so interesting. People, this is why this the notion that the reader creates the text. Yes, indeed, every reader creates the text, and they create their own capacity to read. It's such an interesting process. I am actually fascinated to try to sort out, and it's hard to even say it, what happens with sex gender in modernism. And that means thematically in people's lives, insofar as one wants to talk about that, in their poems, in their conflicts and contradictions. The thing about most of the people whom one wants to talk about, they don't have a kind of lockstep attitude. So they have many conflicts and contradictions. And my personal relationship, when I discovered that Marcia Nardi, that the Kress figure, the letters that were used in Patterson, Kress is a real figure, and William's complicated use of her work, it absolutely fascinated me. And I wanted to think about it for a really long time, which I've sort of done, because I would say that I'm more negative possibly about it in Pink Guitar than I might be now, because I'd have to kind of look what I said, exactly what I said in the Pink Guitar, but I don't think appropriation is a bad thing. I think power relations that hide appropriation would be the bad thing. That is, and of course, then it gets all mingled and mixed together, because if you're a female figure struggling, and kind of a little whacked out, as she seems to have been, obviously you already have much less power than a male figure who may have definitely been struggling. I mean, Williams really was a fighter, and he always felt beleaguered in various ways in his work. But you do have less power than this figure. And just in generational terms, she's a bit younger. And so it's hard to separate the appropriation issues from the power issues. Not to speak of the fact that she's constantly throwing up in his face in a kind of complicated manipulative move. The fact that her relationship with him has sort of drained her in a way that she will never write another word, and very stagey, hyper dramatic claims, which, you know, you kind of want to say, oh, shape up, you know, but that's kind of mean also. All right. So there's so many variables in that. I think one of the things I would say, and I may have already said this, but passant, you know, is that the fact that Williams was able to put her letters in is putting in to Patterson II, in case people want to know, an irritant and a challenge to his own authority, as well as a kind of romanticization, as he does perpetually with female figures in that, of that thing which cannot be contained. Whether, in fact, it is the complicated figure, a beautiful thing, the raped black woman, the gang-raped black woman, who is the force that burns the library down. In other words, is the force that Williams presents as doing his job for him, which is to burn the library down. There was a real fire in Patterson, and it's mythologized and metaphorized in his encounter with this woman. Or whether it's Nardi Kress, who is... she's really mad. She's really angry. She's really enraged. She's enraged about all literary power relations, how she wants to be and she can't be. And she was once, and she was once cute and pretty and got lots of, you know, reviews to write. No surprise. So proto-feminist rage, right? And Williams puts that in his book. He doesn't take it out of his book. That's an amazing gesture, even if it's also a romanticized gesture. This is that thing that can never be contained. And in every one of Patterson's books, maybe not book one exactly, but in every one otherwise, there's a female figure who is just out of control, uncontainable, whether it's, you know, Kress, beautiful thing, or the Phyllis figure in this is my favorite, the lesbian proto-lesbian relationship, which Williams is not a big fan of, with a figure, Corydon, who is basically T.S. Eliot. The verse that Corydon, the pretentious verse that Corydon sings, is totally out of Eliot. I mean, it's parodies of Eliot. Eliot is an interlocutor, a secret interlocutor, straight through this book, straight through Patterson, you know. And Corydon is the place where she is confronted again by the smart little New Jersey chippy who is Phyllis. So it's really a confrontation in drag of Elliot and Williams. And in fact, at some point somewhere, I think maybe in a letter, Williams says, you know, I got kind of fond of the old gal, meaning of Corydon. And it's as if he kind of temporarily mellows about the Elliot figure at that point. Oh no, I mean it's completely clear to me. It's just, you know, it totally sticks in your face. It's like totally in your face. I could show you the passages, but it might be the metaphoric little sheep, you know, in the East River. But you know, some of it is also a little bit Hart Crane, the stuff about a whirring pterodactyl of a contrivance or remembrance of Da Vinci. It's a little bit that kind of poetry, but it's also, yeah, therefore present, forever present, the gulls, the vortices of despair circle and give voice to their wild responses until the thing is gone. That's a little teeny bit the beginning of Ash Wednesday and the four quartets. Oh no, there's bits all through it. It's actually hysterical.